So I'm going to teach on something I think I see a lot in our world, and especially I think, and I'm not going to be too hard, I'm not trying to bag on a certain generation, but this generation is like mostly 18 to 30 generation, tends to have this kind of an issue, but I see it in the world as well. I see it at work all the time, and it's let your yes be yes and your no be no. You guys have probably heard that before, probably wondered what does that mean, where does it come from? Well, you're going to find out today. So where it comes from. Actually, Jesus talks about that, and also James, Jesus' half-brother. So that's what we're going to study. So let's go ahead. So if you got your Bibles with you, we're going to look at really two passages. One's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37, and the other one's going to be James chapter 5, verse 12. So let's go ahead and see what Jesus says about this. And there's a little bit of stuff in the beginning, which I'll touch on. It has to do with oaths, but that's not really what the meat of this message is going to be about. But I will touch on that and what was happening and why Jesus and James kind of touch on that as well. So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, he says, "Again, you have heard it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Now James, we're going to read James chapter 5, verse 12, if you want to turn to that. James is basically taking what Jesus said, and he's going to just kind of paraphrase it. And he says in verse 12, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment." Now, some versions of your Bible, whether it's New King James, New American Standard, NIV, that last part of James, lest you fall into judgment, it may say lest you fall into condemnation. Or what I kind of like is the one that says, unless you fall into hypocrisy. So there's kind of some different interpretations of that, but it basically means the same thing. So what I want to touch on real quick, though, is what they're saying before they say, let your yes be yes and your no be no. They're talking about oaths. And what was happening at that time, biblical times, is that people would swear by stuff. They would say, hey, I swear by the temple gate that I will do this. I'll swear by God in heaven, I will do this. And they were doing it for like everything. So it's like Jerry calling me up. Now think about this. Jerry calls me up and says, hey, let's go to lunch on Wednesday, 12 o'clock. And I say, I swear by the hallowed halls of Calvary Christian Fellowship that I will be there. Okay? That's kind of what they were doing. They were kind of really overusing this. And then they were kind of, in a way, using it as a cop-out too. And, as a way of getting out of a commitment that they made. So you can see that it was just getting ridiculous. So what Jesus and James are saying here is just give a simple yes or no answer. You don't need to swear by this. You don't need to give an oath for this. You just need to say a simple yes answer and a simple no answer. So they were kind of abusing that back in the biblical times with swearing these oaths. Now, we do swear oaths, right? If you go to a court and you're a witness, you got to swear on the Bible, right? We have a new president, right? He swore on the Bible that he would uphold the laws of the Constitution. We have a new Supreme Court justice who swore on the Bible that he will uphold, the laws of the Constitution and defend, the United States. If you become a citizen legally here, you will have to give an oath. So there is times where we give an oath, but what Jesus, and I think James is saying here, focusing more on is interpersonal relationships. Not those kind of like a government or some kind of an oath that you have to do. It's more like my example with Jerry, hey, I don't need to swear an oath if Jerry wants asked me to go out to lunch. Even if you think about it, it sounds kind of dumb, right? So that's kind of, that's kind of the difference there. So what James and Jesus are saying is a simple yes and no answer is going to be sufficient. We don't have to elaborate, it doesn't have to be big, and we have to swear this oath on the hallowed grounds of Calvary Christian Fellowship when you're going to do something. It's simple yes and no. And like I said, I think our world, especially when I look at work and stuff, and people in general, we're just all wishy-washy and flaky if we think about it for the most part. What we do sometimes, and this is one that I see a lot is, you know, Jerry, you know, let's say I'm going to use Jerry. He's going to be my example today because he's a leader and I can do that. So, yeah, that's right. It's Tom and Jerry. So, it'd be like Jerry calling me up and I'm going to give a lot of examples here. So Jerry calls me up, or maybe he talks to me here on a Sunday morning and says, you know, hey, Tom, I'm having problems with my car. I know you won't because it's a Mustang, but I'm just theoretically. Jerry calls me up and says, hey, you know, I'm having some problems with car. I know you know a little bit about cars. Can you come over Saturday afternoon, take a look at it? And I say, sure, Jerry, I'll be there Saturday afternoon. We'll check out the car. Say this is on a Sunday, you know, this morning. Thursday, Friday comes around. My buddies call me up and say, dude, we're going to go, like, get some burgers, and then we're going to go play Call of Duty for the rest of the Saturday afternoon. Now I have a choice to make, right? I can have a choice. Either I'm going to stick to my commitment to Jerry, or, hey, you know, something better came along, so I'm going to bail on Jerry and go out with my buddies. Have you guys ever had people do that to you, where they'll, you know, something better comes along and they just bail? And you know, I may even call Jerry and give some lame excuse. I'll do, I'm sick, or my car's broke, or my tire's flat, or something. You know, I'll give some kind of excuse. You know, I'm out of gas, whatever, you know, or I may not call them at all. Now, how many of you have had that happen before, where somebody, and then you find out that they went and did something else? You know, I think that happens a lot, and that's happened to me quite a bit too, with people. So you disregard a previous commitment for something that you think is better, and of course that's wrong, because you said yes that you would do this, you know, and we're supposed to keep our word. What about if you make a commitment and you find out, hey, this is a lot more work than I thought it was going to be. You know, it's tougher, there's some obstacles, there's some roadblocks, especially if you commit to a ministry. There's always going to be obstacles. You got to deal with people. You know, not everybody in ministry you're going to get along with, unfortunately. You know, even in a ministry setting or even at work, you know, where you make a commitment, there's going to be coworkers that you're just not going to get along with. So what do you do? I'm not doing this anymore, and you bail. No, that's wrong too. That's not what the Bible says. You stick with it until the end, especially when you're out in that work because you're a witness for Christ, which we'll get into a little bit later here. But you're His ambassador, so they're watching you, you know, to see what you're going to do, and you need to take your commitment to the end. How about, you know, we make a commitment, let's say, to a ministry, like worship. Or it could be even just the interpersonal thing, like between Jerry and I, you know, go work on his car. I call him up Friday. Dude, I'm just not feeling it. I just don't feel like coming over and helping you today. I'm just not feeling this. And you bail. How many times have we had that happen with people just say, I don't feel, or they get partway into something, whether it's a ministry or a project at work, and it's like, I'm just not feeling it anymore. So you just bailed, you know. That's wrong. The Bible says that that's wrong. Our yes should be yes, and our no should be no. And I'm really talking about yes part. We're going to talk about the no part, because no is very important too. Because He says, let your yes be yes, and no, no. So there is a no part as well. But think about this. Like these things I just talked about. You know, challenges, obstacles. I just don't feel it. Well, think about one of the ultimate commitments you're going to make in your life. Which is going to be the second most important decision you're going to make in your life is going to be what? You know, the first one is whether you're going to accept Jesus, right? What's the second most important decision, commitment that you're going to make in your life? Marriage. All right. You know, when you're married, everything's great. And it's great for the, you know, most part, but you know what? There's times where it's not going to be all newlywed rainbows and unicorns. Okay, you're going to fight with your spouse. You're going to argue about this sometimes. You're just not going to feel the love. You know, maybe there's some obstacles of financial things going on. That's a big thing in marriage. You know, if there's financial problems, you know, there could be other things, struggles with each spouse on different things that are going on. You know, maybe some sin struggles or stuff that's going on. You know, it's not easy, but you just go, you know, this is getting too hard, and, you know, I just don't feel it anymore, so I'm going to bail. I wonder how many people actually do that, too, even in the Christian church. You know, I just don't feel it, so I'm going to bail, or this is just too hard. You know, you make a commitment, and it's the same thing with our relationship with God. You know, there's times I can tell you that I don't feel God's presence all the time. You know, sometimes I even have doubts that, especially when I sin knowingly, that, you know, whether he's going to forgive me or loves me. You know, do I just bail? Nah, God, I tried that stuff. You know, I tried Jesus, and it really wasn't for me. You know, I just wasn't feeling it. Or, you know, Jesus said our life, if we accept Jesus and have a relationship with him, the world is going to hate us like they hate him. You know, again, accepting Jesus isn't going to make your life, again, all, you know, rainbows and unicorns. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a lot tougher than somebody who doesn't know the Lord, because you're living for God and it's going against what the world says. So do you just bail? You know, I know when I feel like I don't feel God's presence, I feel do I have to confess this again? Do I have to, you know, I don't know if he loves me. I go right to the Word. I go right to the Word, because the Word is pretty specific that God, you know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to leave us, never forsake us, right? Jesus said that. We have the Holy Spirit in us, God's Spirit in us. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when I have those feelings, I go right back to the Word, because the Word is telling me exactly, you know, where God is at and what God, who God is, not my feelings. In fact, the Bible says we were not even supposed to let our feelings lead us, right? Because what are emotions, Jerry? What does the Bible say about emotions? They're change and they're what? Deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things. So we don't go by, you know, feelings. And, you know, when we say yes to something, when we commit, whether, especially if it's in a group situation, maybe at work, at your school, you know, if you have a group project at school, in a ministry, you know, other people are depending on you to do your part, right? They're depending on you to do that. So if you tell somebody, yes, you're going to do something, you need to do it. It has to be a done deal. I know, like, let's look in a band situation. You know, like the band Higher Frequency. If people aren't doing their part, the band's not going to go anywhere. The band's not going to sound good. You know, if someone in the band isn't doing their homework, which, you know, going and playing the songs throughout the week at home, or at least consistently doing that, if someone's not showing up for practice and giving excuses, oh, I'm too tired today, you know, there's always some excuse. Or maybe there's somebody that's hard to deal with. You know, we had an issue where, you know, somebody was difficult and there were some challenges to deal with this person. You know, so, I mean, do we bail? You know, I mean, people are depending on you and do it to do your part. So let our yes be yes and our no be no. And like I said, when we say that and we make that commitment, we see it all the way through no matter what. And how about this? Like I was talking about earlier, how about it's an opportunity for us as believers to stand out in the world and to go against the flow, right? Because people are wishy-washy. We know it all the time. People break promises. But the world is watching everything that we do. I think they watch more of our actions than what we say. So if we're flaky at work, is that really going to be a good witness for Christ? You know, and, you know, so, you know, you need to make sure that you follow through on what you say. And that, as if you guys ever saw the movie Dumb and Dumber, your word is your bond. You know what I'm talking about, right? what happened in Dumb, I'll just, if you haven't seen, I know you guys probably haven't because you're young, but they think a lady left a briefcase at the airport, and so they try to find her, and they find her in Aspen, but what if the briefcase is full of money, it's for ransom money because her husband was kidnapped. So they finally figure out there's a bunch of money in it, and they start spending the money. And they get caught, and they're like, the guy, you know, the robber or the kidnappers, like, open up the case, and it's Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. They open up the case, and it's got all these receipts in it. And they're like, what is this? And Jim Carrey's like, well, this is good as the money that was in there. And it's receipts, and it says IOUs on it. And Jim Carrey's like, well, our word is our bond. You know, this $250,000 Lamborghini, we'll pay that back. Our word is our bond. You know, this is as good as cash. So anyway, you have to see the movie. If you haven't seen it, it's funny. What? Yeah, you might want to hold on to that one. So, yeah, you know, they're saying their word is our bond. And it's kind of like, I think that's a saying that we say now. We say, say what you mean and mean what you say, you know. So the world is watching us. And Proverbs 22, verse 1, I think I might have that up there. says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. So a good name, or some of your translations or versions may say good reputation, you know, is worth what? It's greater than riches, greater than silver and gold. If you have a reputation of being a flake, you know, even within the church, no one's going to want to do anything with you. You may come up and say, man, I'd like to be in this ministry. And people are going to go, no. Because your reputation is that you're going to bail because you don't feel it, because it's getting too hard, because you got to do a little work, and you bail. Now, of course, like in the band, I'm going to use a band situation because that's kind of my experience and also a ministry at church. When you're looking at something like that, and even an interpersonal one, I'll add, like Jerry and I going to lunch. There's things out of your control that you may have to bow out of a commitment, or maybe you got to take a step back. You know, say like Jerry and I were supposed to go to lunch on Wednesday, but I get like a really bad cold. I'm sick. Or work, you know, I'm at work and they're like, hey, we got a system down and we got to get it fixed. Now, those are things that are out of my control. Family emergency, you know, say my dad who has health problems, you know, he's in the hospital now. You know, there's things out of your control that are legitimate, I think, to say, hey, I can't make it. I can't do it. Same thing in a ministry like this morning. You know, Art, SB's really sick. He's taking her over to the urgent care. Mike, your wife is sick too as well. You know, was she going to sing this morning? No. But I mean, if she was going to sing this morning, you know, she's sick. You know, that's a legitimate thing to say, hey, I'm not going to be able to do this. So those things that are out of your control, you don't have control whether you get sick or work needs you. So there are some things that we can do that, but for the most part, that's pretty rare. Most part, we just kind of bail and flake out, you know. The other thing I'm going to touch on is also something that's a little pet peeve of mine when it comes to this millennial generation is I'll pray about it. And we actually kind of nicknamed that as the millennial no. And I'll touch about that, why that is. Of course you should be praying for if something's really important. You know, like I'm not going to, if Jerry says, hey, let's go to lunch Wednesday, I'm not going to go, dude, I need to pray about that. I mean, that just sounds kind of dumb, right? I mean, it's either you're going to go or not. But if I go up to Mike and I say, hey, Mike, you know, you got a real talent. You sing, you can play. We really need somebody to lead worship in the youth group. Would that be something that you feel led to do? And if Mike says to me, you know, let me pray about that. Let me talk to my family about it, kind of get some wisdom about it. That is perfectly acceptable. And he also says, to make it acceptable, you know, I'll get back to you next Sunday on that. Okay? So he's going to get back to me next week. Let me know what kind of decision. When he gives a decision, he gives me a simple yes or no. Doesn't have to explain either one, just a yes or no. I know Mike very well. He may want to elaborate a little bit, but I know from Mike is a simple yes or no answer. Here's where my pet peeve comes in when I say it's called the millennial no. So let's say Mike, I ask him, and he says, yeah, I'll pray about it. I say, great. Next Sunday comes along. Hey, Mike, what do you think about leading worship? Oh, I need to pray about that. And then the next week. Hey, what do you think, Mike? Oh, I need to pray about that. Eventually, you're going to be like, he's really not interested. He just doesn't want to say no or do a yes or a no. So, again, it's important for things like a ministry, maybe not in the church, but say outside in the world, you're at your job. Hunter, you're at your job, and your boss says, Hunter, you're doing a great job. You know, you're a hard worker, self-starter. We want to move you up. We're going to make you into a management position. It's going to be in a little more hours, give you a little more pay, and you might have to travel. So you might want to pray about that. Say, hey, you know, give me a couple of days to kind of sleep on it, think about it, pray about it, get some wisdom about it. So you guys understand kind of the difference in that, you know, and also to give a timeline of, hey, let me pray about that for a few days, and then I'll get back to you, you know. And then call the person or talk to them in a few days and say yes or no. You don't have to do that if I'm going to go to lunch with Jerry. I don't have to tell Jerry, sorry, Jerry, I got to pray about that, you know. So does that kind of make sense? Do you guys kind of understand that? So important, really important things. How about, we just talked about marriage. You got your girlfriend. You want to ask her, you know, propose to her. Better pray about that. Because like I said, that's the second most important decision you're going to make. Any guys in here, that's the second most important decision. So pray about it. I mean, ask God for wisdom. Remember, He knows the beginning from the end, you know, for that. So there is things that we really do pray about. But give somebody a time limit on that. Say, hey, I'll get back to you next week in a couple of days if you're trying to make a commitment. So does all that make sense? Okay. So now let's get to something I think is really cool is we just looked over say, let your yes be yes, but we have the option and the choice of saying no to people. And there's a power in just a simple no answer. And once you've said no to people, just graciously decline it. You don't have to justify why you said no. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to elaborate it. And I'll tell you, and that's what James and Jesus is saying here. Just let your simple yes, simple no. And the reason why you want to give a gracious no, simple no answer is because the other person, it gives them an opportunity to try to negotiate with you. And also manipulate you. And I'll give some examples. So it's like, so Mike. I'll use Mike again. I like Mike to come up here and do worship. And he says, I prayed about it all week and talked to my family and stuff. And, you know, I just don't feel like this is where God is really leading me, you know. And then he goes, I got all this family stuff going on and I work and, every Sunday is just going to be really tough. And I go, what if you did like 2 Sundays a month? You know, and then you're like, well, I don't know, 1 Sunday? Okay. So you start this negotiation process starts happening. The other thing unfortunately, I think the church in general is guilty of this. And Gail Irwin, if you guys don't know him, he wrote a few books called The Jesus Style, The Father Style, and The Spirit Style. And he's a Calvary guy, but he travels around to the different Calvaries. And I've actually taught some of his stuff in here from some of his books, but he talks about, even he is critical of the church in the way that it manipulates people. And what manipulation would be is, when it comes to saying no, it'd be, Mike said, gives me a simple no answer. Yeah, Tom, I'd like to do it, but, I just can't do that right now. I don't feel led to worship. And I go, Mike, souls are going to be lost if you don't come up and lead worship, Yeah, and that's another one. I was just about to bring it. Or, Mike, you must not just love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you would be in here doing this ministry. Or, Mike, I just don't think you have enough faith. If you had faith, you'd be up here doing this ministry. Is it true? Yeah. See? So, yeah. If you give this, try to justify it, then it gives that other person the opportunity to either try to negotiate with you or try to manipulate you. Granted, there's a little bit when you come with a simple no, knowing I know Mike really well, I know Jerry, some of those people where we have a close relationship with, things might be a little bit different, because I know them, I know their character, and I would accept a simple no answer from them. They don't need to elaborate, but if they did, I would still accept that, and they may want to do that because we're close. We have a close relationship, friendship. So when you say no, do it in confidence, but do it also with respect. And like I said, just graciously say no. And you don't have to give an explanation. If they try to, well, why? What do you mean you don't want to come up here and lead worship? You don't have to give an answer. Just say no. And that's something that's hard for us to do. In fact, I was talking to Eileen about this study, and she came up with something I thought was good too, is a lot of times you have people in the church who see all the problems and all the needs of the church, and people will come up and say, hey, can you serve in the children's ministry? Yes. Can you serve in the youth ministry? Yes. Can you lead worship in the youth group? Yes. Can you help out in the coffee shop? Yes. Can you do sound for us? Yes. And there's people that don't know how to say no, because they feel guilty about saying no because they have that heart and they see the needs, but they get themselves to the point where they're stretched so thin in all their different, ministries in the church that they're not going to be as effective. And I'm just going to give my personal opinion on this. I think, of course, this is an individual thing, is I try to keep my church ministry is basically down to like two, maybe three. So those are things that I can really focus on, like being a leader in a youth group, you know, being in the band Higher Frequency. That's a ministry because we're out there, you know, have original songs that are about God and Jesus, you know, biblical songs, Christian songs. And that takes commitment, you know, to practice and do homework. I do help out a little bit over in the main service, you know, one Sunday a month, but that doesn't conflict with here being a leader because we're over there on communion. So otherwise, I would say no. And in fact, I was asked to play over there, but I graciously declined because I'm focused in over here. Even though there was a need at the time to play more than once a month, this is kind of where my focus is, you know, here. So I tried to keep it, you know, to just two or three things that you could really focus on. The other thing is, you know, if I wasn't in the band, I may have a, thank you, I may have a small group, you know, or maybe a men's group or something, you know. But again, just trying to keep it down to you know, a good basic, you know, one or two things that you can really focus on. And the other thing to think of too is when you say no, say, Mike says, you know, no, I'm just not feeling led to do, you know, be a worship leader in the youth group. And, you know, I don't try to manipulate him or negotiate him and said, you know, Mike, you know, wish we'd have you, but I understand, you know, there may be somebody else in here that wants to do that. So if you say yes because you feel like you ought to do something, there might be somebody else in here that really has a heart to do it, and now they don't have that opportunity or that chance to serve God because somebody else stepped up because they couldn't say no. So their no can be very powerful. So I guess, like I said, this is going to be kind of a short study because I think it's very simple and straightforward, and you know, what God and Jesus and James and the Bible is telling us is let your yes be yes and your no be no, and when you say you're going to do something, you do it all the way to the end, and you let, and people know, not feel, they don't feel like, oh, you know, I feel that Mike's pretty dependable. I know Mike's dependable. I know Mike, when he says yes, he's going to follow through and do it. I know if Jerry says yes, he's going to follow through. I don't feel Jerry, well, maybe he's going to do that. I know Jerry's going to do it. Again, that's that reputation. That's how you know, the world is going to see you as well when you're at work, when you make commitments, when you're working on a project. You know, the world's going to see that and go, yeah, he's dependable. I can depend on him. I don't feel I can. I know I can. So, again, we're supposed to speak plainly, speak truthfully, and give a simple yes or no answer. So does this make sense? Okay. So that was it. That's all I had. We're going to break up into groups. Have the girls in here. We're going to have the guys out there kind of do something we used to. We haven't done this in a while. We'll meet back in here around 10:30. So let's go ahead and pray real quick. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time. I just pray that your word not only goes in our mind, Lord, but in our hearts, and it becomes, Lord, how we live our lives. You know, we live our lives as a thank you to you, not because we have to, but because we want to. And I pray that, Lord, as we become dependable, as we see things through, when we say yes to commitments, that it's a done deal, and the people know that, Lord, especially outside in the world as we're at work or school, that people would see that and it would be a great witness for you. And we pray this in your name. Amen.